Hello.
We're back.
Yes.
It's kind of nice being on this call. I haven't been on this call for so long.
Yeah, I know. We haven't heard from you in a while.
You not busy anymore?
Yeah. Why, Mark? How did you know? I'm playing solitaire as we speak.
That sounds really fun.
It does. I wish it was true.
Yeah.
I'm triple
tacky. The notion that no is a complete sentence seems to evade us all.
Yeah, that's not an option.
No.
Okay, well, why don't we get started? Hopefully, people will find their way. We'll start with announcements. Are there any announcements from everybody who's on the phone?
I've got how many of you guys were at the Tri-PI meeting?
I was. This is Tamara, and Kim was there. Mark was
there. So I just heard that the Matrix, which was right now from that meeting, just went on the Tri-PI meeting website.
Mm-hmm.
While we understand that that's just a sketch of all the things, and we're looking at some new tools to build the collaborative process and sharing, you know, what who's doing what while they're doing it, as opposed to who's done what, which is more like what clean is.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working on that, but the beginning of that is the Matrix, that's up there. So, you know, I think some people might find that of value.
One thing I'll let you know is that I got contact. When I was there, I know they wanted mostly funded projects, but I also wanted to make the Climate Literacy Network apparent, so I chose one of them and put it for all the audiences, and I think I chose community engagement, and I did get a question from somebody as to whether we were doing it, because she said, you put it for every single audience. I said, well, this is what we are, and I know exactly how. So, Frank, so just so that you know, I don't know how they ended up treating it, but I really wanted to, you know, indicate that the Climate Literacy Network was a place where people from all the different audiences could come and share and
right.
leverage from each other's efforts. So that's what happened with that.
Okay, that's fine. The product matrix is what it's called,
mm-hmm.
and I'll send the link out to the network, just because everybody, it's a public thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
So I'm just pulling it up as we speak.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I wanted to make people aware of is I sent this out in the email earlier. The Clean Pathway Project is having registration for the 2.5-day virtual, 2 or 3-day virtual workshop around energy issues. The registration, I think, is open now until April 4th, and they're looking for people. This is mostly focused at undergraduate faculty, but a broader range of community members could also participate if they're interested. And I gave the link is on the Clean Pathway site. It's also in the email that I sent out this morning with the wrong phone number, but I think the link is right because I just copied and pasted it.
I see there's an issue with the matrix that we have to figure out because there's a coding system, and they didn't give you a key as to what the codes were.
Mm.
So that's fine. I'll...
Okay. Are there any other announcements?
Well, some of you may have seen that the first issue of Nature's new Climate Change magazine came out. A couple articles in there are pertinent to climate change communication, one by Barak Fischoff.
Nature's... Okay, who is this talking?
Oh, this is Joe Whitty.
Oh, okay, great.
Hey, Joe, can you send a link out to everybody? Because there's a
sure.
So,
sure, be glad to. In fact, Barak Fischoff is one of the free articles.
Yeah, please. Oh. If you can attach the PDF, that'd be awesome.
Sure. I'll see what I can do. I'm sure I can.
Okay, great. Thanks.
The other thing I'll tell you guys is I just got some notes from the new BAMS journal. It has
mm-hmm.
some interesting work, and I'm not sure if I'm able to share this, but there's one article that did a thorough analysis of environmental and earth science textbooks on how they treat climate and climate change, and then also what misconceptions that they are either dealing with effectively or propagating and making worse. And so it's an interesting read. I haven't read the whole thing yet, but it's very interesting.
Thanks.
Frank, where is that?
BAMS, the the AMS journal.
Bulletin of the American Meteorological Society.
Great, thanks. Yeah.
Are there any other announcements? Okay, well, if not, then we'll move on to our presentation for today, and we have Kim Lytle and Jessica, and I'm missing your last name at the moment.
It's Friesgaether.
Friesgaether are going to be talking about the Weg magazine Beyond Web, Beyond
Weather and the Water.
Weather and the Water Cycle.
Well,
I lost a page up here where I was reading it from, so that's why
okay.
I'm trying to... And well, the presentation is there, so I will let Kim introduce herself further and move forward.
Great. Thank you, Tamara. So I'm going to just do just a really quick introduction, and then Jessica is going to talk more about the magazine itself. And if we have enough time, we'll actually look at the last issue of Beyond Penguins and Polar Bears, which is also about climate change. So Beyond Weather and the Water Cycle, it's an online magazine, and we use the word magazine as a metaphor. We're trying to help teachers understand how they could navigate through this content and base it in something that they should know already. So there's departments and columns, and each issue of this Beyond Weather and the Water Cycle is laid out the very same way. So we're calling it an online magazine. It's specifically for elementary teachers, and it was funded through Geosciences at NSF. So I am the PI, but Jessica is actually the project director, and so I want her to talk. She's much more intimately involved in the direction. She works with the authors, and so just has a much better idea of what she wants this whole these seven issues of this magazine to look like. We are doing it in WordPress, and if you're on the Clean Net page, you will see the link to beyondweather.ehe.osu.edu. So it is sitting on Ohio State servers, and we have a few PowerPoint slides, and those are also downloadable. So please interrupt us anytime you would like if you have a question. But Jessica, please introduce yourself, and then take us through the slides. And also, if you want us to look at the website itself, just tell us what to do.
Right. Great. Thanks, Kim. My name is Jessica Friesgaether. I am an education resource specialist here at Ohio State. I've been here about 3.5 years. Can't believe it's been that long already. Before that, I was an elementary teacher, and then before that I was a middle school math and science teacher. So I do have the recent classroom experience that I bring to both these positions. As Kim said, I am the project director for Beyond Weather and the Water Cycle. I also am the project director for Beyond Penguins and Polar Bears. So I'm really closely involved with the production of both those projects. Although Kim didn't give herself enough credit, she's been helping out quite a bit with Beyond Weather and the Water Cycle, and I really appreciate that. So as she said, we have some slides that are available on the Clean Pathway, Clean Network. I'm going to go through those slides, so if you have a chance to open them up and follow along with me, that's fantastic. If not, you'll still get good information by listening, and then you'd be welcome to go check them out afterwards. So just a quick overview. Kim touched on some of this already. Beyond Weather is an online magazine. It is aimed at elementary teachers and then by extension their students. Our purpose in creating this magazine was to help convey an understanding of climate and climate science, and also help elementary teachers understand what foundational concepts they should be teaching at their respective grade level. We're not advocating that kindergarten or first grade teachers teach full out climate change in their classroom. What we want them to do is make sure that their science instruction is appropriate so that when students reach, say, middle school and high school, when these issues are ready to be tackled, that they're coming with the requisite knowledge and skills to really understand it well. In addition to that, we are emphasizing inquiry-based instruction and the integration of literacy, reading, writing, and speaking throughout all of its content. And if you're familiar with Beyond Penguins and Polar Bears, you know that those are the same focus that we adopted in Beyond Penguins, and it's been very successful. So we wanted to continue to use that effective strategy to help our teachers find time to address these topics in their curriculum. So if you are on slide one, you'll see a screenshot of our homepage. Slide two is just the bottom of the screen, so you can bounce back and forth between those. As you can see, we have one issue that's available right now. It was our February issue, The Sun and Earth's Climate. Our second issue should be up by Thursday or Friday of this week. We're just wrapping up the finishing touches and getting ready to launch that. We're planning on publishing 5 more. That'll bring us to a total of 7 issues, and that will take us all the way through January of 2012. We're sticking with a bi-monthly schedule, mainly due to the amount of research and writing that's needed on our end to put that out. If you look at slide 2, if you're on that, or if you're just on the page with our resources, you'll see our URL. It is beyondweather.ehe.osu.edu. And I'd invite you to maybe open that and just keep that handy. We're going to look at the live site a little bit later on, but slide 2 is the only slide that actually has that URL written out on it.
Excuse me, but can you help us find these sites we're supposed to be looking at again, the slides?
Sure. Kim, can you explain where those slides are better? Because I'm not.
Sure. If you go... first of all, the first email that Tamara sent,
okay.
And that would be, I guess it must have been this morning at
9:30.
Yes. So okay. That first slide, it says the abstract and bios of Kim and Jessica along with the PowerPoint slides are posted at this link.
Okay.
And so the link is actually in that email, but I can also... tell it to you if you would like me to.
No, we got there.
Okay.
But where are the slides?
Yeah, so if you click on that link, cleannet.org, and if you, it says March 29th, 2011, underneath that green box.
Okay, so is it this Beyond Weather and Water Cycle presentation?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yes, those are the slides.
Go back to what you were doing. Thank you.
Oh, good. I'm glad you asked.
I apologize. I assumed everyone knew. So if you haven't pulled those up and you want to take a minute to do that, that's fine. I'll talk a little bit more about the homepage and some fun features we've added just to give folks a chance to pull those up. We do have the ability to share on Facebook. We've connected to Twitter. Looks like MySpace. Kim, is that MySpace
mm-hmm.
on there?
It is.
Printing, a Google search, and then an additional fun feature that we added on at the end was that the weather on our homepage will change if you're on the site long enough. It scrolls through between a sunny day and snow and rain in a subtle way. It's not in your face obnoxious.
And you can turn it off if you want.
Yes, you can. Thank you for reminding me that. There's an option for that. So let's go ahead and, if you have the slides open, let's go ahead and go to slide 3. And I want to talk a little bit about our content. We have this online magazine. I told you that we have one issue out, 6 more to come. Where are we getting our content from and how are we organizing it? In writing the proposal, we turned to the 7 essential principles of climate science and felt that that was a really effective framework for getting that information across to our teachers, which are our primary audience, and then, like I said, by extension, their students. And so we decided to devote an issue of the magazine to each of those 7 principles, 7 issues, 7 principles.
And we're taking a two-pronged approach, as I mentioned before. We're trying to educate our audience, our teacher audience, about the principle in its full extent. So Kim has been writing fantastic content knowledge articles that go through the principle and talk about each sub-principle, sub-concept, provide illustrations and resources for more reading. So we're really trying to help our teachers become climate literate themselves. But then our second approach is to then help them translate that principle to those foundational concepts that would really be important for their students. So we're not expecting them to teach all of those complex components and subcomponents to their students per se, but we do want them to effectively teach about things like the sun and the water cycle, the difference between climate and weather in the upper grades, things like that. So we're creating climate literate teachers, and then we're putting building blocks in place for climate literate students in the future. And we're also helping teachers connect that principle back to the curriculum that they're already teaching. Because in most cases, those components are there, at least on paper. Teachers may not be teaching them, they may not be comfortable with them, but we want them to see that we're not adding something extra to what they should be doing. We're really helping them do what those curricula say more effectively and helping them feel more comfortable about that. So, as I say that, we do have five more issues that we'll be working on. If you're familiar with these essential principles, you kind of have an idea of what that content is. If you're not, slides one and two give you titles of each of those issues, and that gives you a place to start. We are addressing them in the order that they were written in the essential principles. And we are always looking for resources, for guest authors, for ideas. So if you have ideas about any of those principles or things that we should be including for teachers or for their students, I would really appreciate any input you'd like to give us.
When would you like to get that?
Whenever. We will begin. We're putting out, you know, we're publishing issue two this week, so next week we'll start thinking about issue three.
That's fine.
Yeah, and one of the things that's so lovely, even though this isn't a wiki, it is WordPress, so it's a blog. And so after I had talked to, good grief, of course her name, the NASA gal, Laura.
Laura.
So after I saw her presentation maybe 3 weeks ago on this call, I thought, oh my gosh, I need to go back and put some of those graphs into the content knowledge article for issue one. And so it was very easy to go back and to update that post. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Frank, even though, you know, we maybe are on issue three and you find something that would be appropriate for issue two, mm-hmm. we can easily go back in there and update anything that we've added so far.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you also have the ability to comment on any of our articles, you know, via
exactly.
the traditional blog post function. So,
well, the reason I'm at, I didn't want to interrupt your flow, but since I already have,
that's quite all right.
Some of the clean research that we've been doing on the alignments to climate literacy to the benchmarks,
mm-hmm.
and then from the benchmarks to the Atlas maps, and mm-hmm. and then from that really trying to see how do these ideas relate down into the primary and elementary learning objectives that are in Atlas.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get a lot of teachers who want to teach this at younger grades, but you know, those are not appropriate learning objectives
right.
for
right.
a third grade classroom.
Exactly.
But the nice thing the Atlas does is it does give you some relationship ability to show how this idea builds through these other ideas to what you're talking about, and you can see that, and you can also understand through this alignment work. And we have primary and elementary learning objectives that show, I mean, we haven't done the complete analysis, mm-hmm. but I think it would give you a good indication of what ideas and how they relate and what essential principles, in essence, mm-hmm. relate to the elementary and primary learning objectives. I could share that with you if Tamara, if you're fine with that.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
And it, probably be easy if we just shared it and then sat down and got on a call and walked it through so you kind of understood. I mean, Anna and I have done this a couple times, and I think it, Anna, am I correct, that it helps to have somebody kind of walk you through what all that gobbledygook is at this point?
It helps a lot.
Yes, it does. I can say that also. It's hard to sort of just come to it cold.
Right.
Well, and we also have an article that is curriculum connections. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's really funny. So it looks like the site, I just was starting to click on some things, and it looks like they're actually doing some work. And this always happens.
Oh, no.
It looks like they're doing some work at OSU on their WordPress installation. So things look a little bit stupid right now.
I clicked on your February issue, and it wasn't there, and now there is something there.
Okay, well, it looks like it's going in and out.
And I just got to WordPress.
Yeah.
There's nothing there at all.
Right. So, God bless it. Well, thank God we have some slides. Yes.
Guys,
thank God we
have slides. This is how technology works.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so something is goofy. But I wanted to say is we do have one of our articles, and Jessica can show you that on a slide.
Mm-hmm.
It's Standards and Curriculum Connections. And one of the things that, and I have been the person that's been writing that article, and I've been focusing on the national standards and have not had a chance to do what we've done with the middle school portal work, which is actually start to embed strand maps. So in the middle school portal, we just embed the middle level strands. But we're going to plan on doing that with the elementary, just the elementary pieces, and really start talking about what you just said, Frank, in terms of, you know, we can start and go backwards and actually back map and show those relationships.
Right.
So we have every intention of doing that, but have not had the time. I'm hoping that I can get a little bit of that into the all the articles have been written for issue 2, and I'm hoping that maybe even tomorrow I can do a little bit more of what you're talking about in that second issue. But yeah, we have definitely thought about that, but any help,
we can help you there.
Greatly appreciated.
There's another idea that we've been kicking around on the clean site, which was the idea of strandlets, because a lot of people really get overwhelmed by the strand maps.
Mm-hmm.
If you see the entire map. And one of the ideas was in the NSDL strand map service, you can click on a benchmark and then see a related benchmark, which is a bunch of ideas that it leads to and a bunch of ideas that it comes to it, and then the idea in the center. And that's kind of what we're calling a strandlet. And so you really only want to see the things in 1 degree separation up and down. Mm-hmm. Don't show me the whole thing unless you want to confuse the hell out of me
right.
or scare me. I mean, I've seen recoil when people look at a strand map and they get really scared.
Yeah, it gets pretty complicated pretty fast.
And so we've been trying to figure out what's the amount of information you need to do this that's appropriate, and don't give them too much unless they really want it. You can get there if you want to, but don't start there.
Yeah.
So anyway, but I don't want to take up all your time. I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. So, you know, we talked about where our content is coming from. Of course, we're looking for high-quality resources and highlighting those that exist on the web. Those are limited sometimes, especially when we're dealing with climate and climate concepts for the primary students particularly. So again, if you know of things that you think are fantastic, don't hesitate to pass them along to us. We'd appreciate it. If you progress to slide 4, I want to take a minute and talk about our organization. Kim started to talk about this and explained our magazine metaphor and that we have departments and columns and that they stay the same in each issue. If you have visited Beyond Penguins, you see that we had 5 departments and lots of columns, and we found that our teachers got really overwhelmed with the amount of content. We got really overwhelmed with the amount of content. So we've pared down in this magazine to 2 different departments. Professional learning, which is, as it suggests, professional resources aimed at a teacher, and then in the classroom, and that contains instructional resources, things that teachers would be using with their students or things that students can use directly. And on slide 5, you'll see those two departments from our first issue, the Sun and Earth Climate. You've got an overview of our issue that's at the bottom of the slide. It's at the top, but it's very difficult to read on the screenshot. And then you can see our two departments, professional learning and then in the classroom. And so I want to take you through each and just talk about those columns that are regularly appearing and will appear in every single issue.
Oh, Jessica, mm-hmm. I just got an email from Dustin, who is our web developer over in the mm-hmm. college, and he says, oh, my God, we're working on it. We're working on it. So, yeah, they do know that it is hosed for some reason, and I think, and so you know with technology, things just don't always work. Well, I guess what had happened, I had started putting in articles into issue 2, and I guess there were some unintended consequences of me doing that this morning.
Okay.
I did. I broke it. Hopefully when we put in 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, this won't happen again. But about this page, this mm-hmm. slide, this, I guess we're on number 5. Are we on number 5 yet?
We are on number 5.
This is 9. Is this a screenshot of what it's supposed to look like?
Exactly.
Yes. Minus the large text box at the bottom. That's
okay.
Just an enlargement for
yeah.
reading purposes.
But I wanted to point out that you'll see it says .earth, Beyond Penguins, Polar Blog. And then underneath that is actually Mark's blog. And these are being RSS fed into this template page. Each of the issues, like we're in Sun and Earth Climate right now, each of the issue pages do have these 3 blogs that are being RSS fed into it. So that content does change as those blogs are updated.
Great. Thanks for the reminder. Let's start on the professional learning column, which is on the left-hand side of the slide. We've got 5 regular columns in this. We would be open to adding something if people feel there's something there, but we think these 5 really cover what we need our teachers to know at this point. And I'm going to go out of order. So we've got science content knowledge. It's the 2nd article from the bottom. That is the article that we're really delving into that essential principle in full. Kim's been writing these, and we're really helping teachers understand that principle for themselves.
Jessica, mm-hmm. It's working again.
Okay.
So people can go to the live site now.
Okay. We're going to stick on the slide for just a minute.
Okay.
But that's good to know when I get there. We also, as I said, we integrate literacy into all of these issues. And so we have this essential principle on the science side. In terms of the literacy, we select a reading strategy or a skill that we're going to focus on for that issue. So in this particular issue, we focused on the literacy skill of making predictions while reading. We talk about what that looks like, how readers do that, and then how does that differ from predicting in science and making forming a hypothesis, because there is a subtle difference, and it's important for teachers to understand that. So we have both a science content knowledge article and a literacy content knowledge article. Kim talked about the standards and curriculum connections. That's the 5th article down, the 5th bullet point. That's where we help teachers see that connection between what their curriculum is asking them to do or what the national standards or the benchmarks, as soon as we have time to add those in. That's a given column. We have a professional bookshelf where we have professional books in terms of science and literacy, not climate specific, but books on inquiry or books on science notebooking, books on reading strategies. And then the first column in that list, digital literacy in the library, is becoming one of my favorite articles in these issues. It's written by Marcia Martis, who is a member of NSDL. She is professor of information sciences. Is that right, Kim?
Yes.
At Florida State. And she has been writing about how school librarians can extend the learning that's going on in the science classroom, in the literacy classroom. So this first article she's written about extending inquiry into the library, and it's really a fantastic resource, and I'm learning a lot from reading those each time. So those round out our professional learning department for teachers. And then the in the classroom columns, like I said, are ones that teachers will be using in their classroom or using with students. And so, again, we've got we've six articles in this. We have an article that's devoted to science lessons. These would be lesson plans that address those foundational building block type concepts. Literacy lessons will be ones that help students apply the literacy skill that we've been focusing on. We then combine those lessons into unit plans. These we found in Beyond Penguins that our teachers loved all the lessons we provided, but they had no idea how to actually take those from the web and then put them into a meaningful framework in their classroom. They wouldn't know where to go next or how to extend things. And so the unit plan really grew out of that, and we're continuing that. We have a virtual bookshelf in this column. This is written by a children's librarian, and we're reviewing published children's literature that can be used to teach those core concepts. One thing you'll notice if you visit that is that we have a list of recommended books. Then we have a list of books that we don't recommend. What I found writing this first issue is that many of the books about the sun and the sun's energy for young students are either misleading or just factually incorrect. And so we chose to include those books but talk about why they weren't correct and why teachers should not use them in hopes to further educate them on making good choices with the literature they're choosing.
I'm sorry, so where do you find that?
It is in the classroom, and it is the virtual bookshelf. It's actually the sixth article down on the list, that last bullet point.
So, Mark, if you actually go online and click on the first issue, that's Sun and Earth's Climate, and then you'll see professional learning and in the classroom, and then finally a virtual bookshelf.
Okay, gotcha. Thanks.
Okay, great.
You guys have done it. Excuse me, you've done a ton of work. And this is no small task that you guys have done here. Quite commendable.
Thanks.
And these books all address this first literacy, right?
Yes.
Wow.
And so we're anticipating this first issue, it was easier to find books. They weren't all necessarily books we recommended. We found with the second issue, it became a little more challenging, and I'm just anticipating that that's going to continue.
When you get to 6 and 7, I think it's going to be the hardest. You should start looking now.
I think you'd start looking
now for those.
Although, I mean, that said, Tamara, I mean, one of the things that I'm hoping, and it's an open hypothesis, that the work we did with the alignment and the atlas maps, I mean, part of why 6 and 7 are so difficult is because, you know, they're focused on the kind of the end ideas that are really high school ideas. They're not even middle school ideas, most of them, some of them. But, I mean, when you break them down and say, what are those foundational ideas that are so critical to those ideas, then you might open up the door to more books.
Exactly. And that's really what we're trying to highlight.
And I think it's really important to identify the books not to use and why not to use them.
Great idea.
It's a really valuable thing.
Yeah. There's two more articles in this. If you're looking at the slides, so the first and second article on the list, the feature story and the interactive activities. I'll talk about interactive activities first. This is a article that we decided to run that's highlighting resources that teachers could use on an interactive whiteboard or in a computer lab or with a set of laptops. We have focused for these first two issues on Content Clips, which is an MSDL-funded project. In the first article, we actually created a sort that students could do to think about the seasons as a jumping-off point for how the amount of sunlight changes and observable changes that they could notice. In the second issue, we're looking at sorts that were already pre-made in Content Clips, but we'll be looking at a variety of sites that have these interactives that teachers can use, because we have heard that lots of teachers and lots of schools have bought these whiteboards and don't always know what to do with them and how to use them effectively. the final article is called The Feature Story, and this was one of the most popular articles in Beyond Penguin, so we knew we had to continue this in our work here. And this is a nonfiction article, so story isn't really the right word, but we've struggled to come up with something better. It's a nonfiction or informational article that we write for students to read themselves, and it conveys the scientific information that is at heart in this entire issue. And so if you jump down to slide 7, if you're following along with me, you'll see that article. And in this first issue, it was called Seasons in the Sun. And so we've written these texts, two versions of it, one for students in grades K-2. It's typically at a first grade reading level, which means that kindergarten teachers could use it as a read aloud. Second grade students should be comfortable reading it on their own, and first grade students would need to read it with some assistance. We also have a version for grades 3-5. We aim in the middle again, so third grade might read with a teacher, fourth grade it's instructional, and fifth graders should be able to handle it without much problem. These are meant to be a supplement because we know that we can't always find great published books that we like. So we write our own as an additional option and a freely available option for teachers. Mm-hmm. Right now on the site, you can download a PDF with just the text and print those to use with students. That's typically a very popular option in the upper grades who are often working on test prep and they need to practice reading in that format. For the younger students and some of the older students, we create books that have full-color photographs that you can print and then fold, and they turn into books that are a quarter size of an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. And I've worked with teachers through the Beyond Penguins project where every student has their own book. And sometimes students in the same classroom will have different reading levels. They're all getting the same content, but it's an appropriate reading level for that student. So we've gotten a lot of great response from our teachers with that.
Where are the colored pages?
They're not available yet. We just finished the first set. Our graphic designer just sent me the first set, and that's one of the things on my list this week is to get those uploaded in there.
Okay, so and they'll be on this feature story page?
They will be on this feature story page. And then the last format that we're still working on, and again I should have up this week, is an electronic book. So we record someone reading the text, and then we create, I think we're going to use iMovie, and create an ebook so students can read on screen but also listen to someone reading to them. And we did that through In Beyond Penguins, and again, it's been very popular. And those will be up, hopefully, by the end of the week.
So is that something like, I mean, my pre-K son uses Starfall, and they're very simple graphic books, and he just self-navigates. He's in pre-K.
Under Tail.
Yes. So very similar. Again, everything is free, and we control the science content, which is nice. I've seen them used on interactive whiteboards in classrooms. We have been telling teachers that they can share these with parents. They could either print the books and send them home. A lot of primary teachers do that in little bags with activities or just making the websites available. We've even heard that grandparents are using them with their kids from Beyond Penguins. So they've been really well received.
And I am going to send a link to the Climate Literacy Listserv with a link to all of the books that we wrote for Beyond Penguins, which include just what Jessica's talking about, the text, and the thing that's nice with that is that we had the change language feature on that site, so you could actually easily change the text of those books into different languages.
Only the upper grades version on Beyond Penguins.
Oh, okay, that's right, the upper grades version.
Yeah.
And then there was the, and with Beyond Penguins, we've got the three grade bands, not just the two. So then there was the foldable and then also the electronic books. And Frank, I'd love for your little one to give us some feedback on those those electronic books especially. But I'll send that link to everyone.
I've also got a second grader who can give it a whirl.
Yeah, that'd be great.
The other important part of these books, you know, we're getting the science content across. We're giving students practice reading informational text, which is something that's a very hot topic in literacy education right now. Research shows us that students, especially in K-1 and 2, read almost exclusively fiction at school. And we're finding that it sets them up to be at a disadvantage in the older grades when they're relying on textbooks and expository text structure. So we're really trying to help teachers use more of this nonfiction text and give them a chance to practice those reading strategies. So in this case, they could practice making predictions with the text while they're reading. Moving on to slide 8, obviously we are doing this work at Ohio State. As Kim mentioned, we are funded by NSF through Geosciences. And all of our content is licensed under a Creative Commons license, which means that anyone can take and modify this content and reuse it as long as they provide attribution. We really want to make this as easy as possible for people to use in whatever context that they might need it. Then moving on to slide 9, as Kim mentioned, and I've been mentioning, we do have this sister site, Beyond Penguins and Polar Bears, which was funded back in 2007. We did produce 20 issues of this magazine. It's very similar, focused on elementary teachers, mostly professional resources, integrating science and literacy. This was a larger project. It was focused on the polar regions, but it spans life science, physical science, earth science, nature and history of science, not just this narrower topic. We did produce an issue on climate change. Several people on this call were key contributors to that, and we thank them greatly for it. So we do have a link on the slide. If not, you can access this at beyondpenguins.nsdl.org. And you'd be looking for issue 20 in the archive.
Are there a set number of issues of Beyond Penguins and Polar Bears, or is it ongoing?
We were funded to produce 20 issues.
I see.
Okay. So we've updated some content, but we're winding down that project. It will still be available, but our funding is running short. So we've also exhausted, I think, most of the topics that we could write about. Relating elementary science to the polar regions.
But I mean, you raise an important point about going back and updating and maintaining the work is critical, but I mean, you weren't funded to keep it going.
Right, and we've, as you know, things online change so frequently that it becomes a tremendous burden. We've been trying our best to keep up with broken links and new resources, so... Yeah, we do that to the best of our ability. Slide 10 just has our contact information. I would welcome any feedback, suggestions, constructive criticism, anything would be fantastic. So at this point, we can open up to questions. As Kim said, the site is now seems to be working, so you can take a look at that, or... If Kim wants to add anything,
I'd like to add something. Mark just sent an email and was talking about the seasons, and I really, really, I mean, Jessica and I both really welcome that kind of feedback. The group that you have, and I'm talking about the Climate Literacy Network and the Clean Pathway, and believe me, we have looked at all of that information and the resources you're pulling together, but we are very much in tune with what you're doing. But you are much more the experts in terms of the climate science and the climate science itself. And so if you happen to see anything that's not exactly correct in terms of the science or something that we need to be a little bit more overt about, please, any of that, you could either write it in a comment and say, you know, paragraph 3 probably should do X, Y, and Z, or...
you know, email us directly. And because this isn't a blog, we can very easily add content. And if you're interested in writing something for us, we would love for you to just take over maybe one of these issues and the content knowledge article or curriculum connections, or even if you had something else that you would like to add to the mix, we would welcome that also.
I am very impressed. I think you guys have done a really incredible job, and you've kind of disproved a theory that some of us had, that we shouldn't get into talking about climate change or the complexities of climate science at the elementary level. You know, I think that obviously there's some huge challenges there, and you know, one example being the axial tilt as the reason for the seasons. You know, from what the folks at AAAS are telling us, it's really not until students are in high school that they're able to really fully grasp that concept. And so I think you've done a good job of trying to make sure that the teachers aren't conveying misconceptions like the Earth's closer to the sun in the summer type
right.
of
thing.
Yeah, I think this is Tamara. I think one of the things that maybe we should think about more, and Kim and Jessica, I know you've already addressed this, is that while maybe there are issues that or concepts that kindergarten and first and second grade students wouldn't be able to really understand, but by helping their teachers understand those principles, they are more likely to avoid misconceptions as they convey them to their students than if they don't understand those principles.
That's good.
You know, and there's another thing that, I mean, it astounds me that this took me this long to realize this, but if you're trying to build professional skill and knowledge in an educator who's going to be teaching ideas maybe in third grade, they need to understand how that idea, they may have to go up into a high school level to really understand how certain questions and certain ideas build to that at a third grade level. And so, we tend to only focus on directly the area where they are. And they have to understand how this idea builds. And so the idea of mastery versus introduction versus, you know, just awareness building. Kids are aware of climate change. We're not expecting them to be masters of these really complicated ideas. Some of these ideas are, you know, really high school and even beyond, but they can be introduced to it. But that means the educator has to be very skillful and knowledgeable, so they don't do exactly what Mark just said and Tamara said. So it's challenging.
That's a great point, and I can share from personal experience. The elementary school that I taught at prior to coming to Ohio State, I started in sixth grade, and then I taught fifth and sixth grade, then I moved down to fourth, and so I really saw a span of what was going on, not just in science, but in math, and it really made me aware of teachers who didn't understand how their concepts would progress in older grades, would often give students an explanation that worked at the fourth grade level, but became problematic at the sixth grade level.
Yep.
And I'm thinking in terms of math. And it's really true that by educating teachers more fully, we're going to help them avoid some of those problems, hopefully.
Yep.
In the long run.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks a lot. Are there any other questions?
I just am curious, philosophically, how do you intend to tackle some of the more challenging essential principles, and also we have the guiding principle that's often kind of overlooked, which talks about informed decision making. You know, I think that there's been a number of us who are concerned about the gloom and doom aspect of climate change, and especially at the younger levels. Philosophically, have you guys talked through some of those issues about how to avoid overwhelming young people with too much bad news?
Jessica and I have talked about the six Americas, and we've talked about, is it six or seven or five?
Six.
So, you know, we've tried to decide which ones we're in, you know, whatever. But we actually, Mark, we've talked about that. But we have not decided how we're going to address it at all.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, without having had a thorough conversation, I think in our, going back to our issue of Beyond Penguins, you and Tamara gave some great advice in terms of those things, so I think we'll start with those resources and go from there. In terms of the informed decision-making on the teacher's part, I see that really coming in some of the later issues in our content knowledge articles. Maybe we need to create a new column that's really all about that. And, you know, I'd be open to doing that.
I would echo what Mark just said is a really important point about the one of the things that a lot of educators have struggled with is the emotional, mm-hmm. psychological aspects of this. And, you know, certain parts mm-hmm. of this I don't talk about to kids younger than, like, seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I think exploring that intentionally mm-hmm. is probably good advice.
Yeah.
And there are things that kids can do, and they love doing it, and they could do it for a whole set of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, it's a great problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mark is spot on here. Now, that, I don't say that often, though, so.
Yeah, and so.
We have that recorded, don't we?
We do.
Maybe we should wait until the very end to do something like that, but I would sure think that in some of the upcoming issues that we can sure address that,
mm-hmm.
especially the last one, which of course, or I guess it's not the last one, but well, could be the last two. You know, that could really mm-hmm. be a big part of mm-hmm. what we talk about. Yeah.
Sam, this is Scott. I'm just curious whether it's possible to add an extra issue, or is it very clear that there's seven issues planned here?
We can add another issue. The original funding mm-hmm. said that we were going to do the seven. One.
What about the guiding principle?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about doing. Yeah. Issue just on that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Although, Scott, you know, I mean, I hear you, but, I mean, one idea about the guiding principle is maybe to try and weave it across.
All the way through.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things that I heard, even, I think it was Mark who said this, was is that they were finding an emerging best practice was to weave solutions into this across the board as opposed to isolating it into the, you know, to the last unit that nobody
yeah.
ever gets to.
Yeah.
Good point. Very good point.
So, I mean, it's just there might be another way to do it within the seven yeah. that if I mean, ultimately this is your project, you need to make it make yeah. sense to you. But I think, you know, from an emerging best practice perspective,
yeah.
the solutions weaving across all over the place and just it's almost, you know, just in the water.
Yeah. I completely agree. And
maybe that's a way to do it.
What about a column in each issue that's dealing with the guiding principle?
That's a great idea. That's
yeah.
what was.
Yeah.
That's what I was just thinking about.
Well, for instance, with this first essential principle focusing on the sun, a great place to talk about solar cooking and simple level solar design of houses and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that sounds
idea.
Fun. And I'll reiterate my call for help, and we would welcome anyone who would be willing to contribute to that or share ideas or, you know, just help us get our wheels turning
yeah.
with that extra column. So,
yeah,
and we can easily add that. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing I can say on that is that some of my other fellow agency colleagues are doing a lot more in this area, EPA, U.S. Forestry Service, and so they've got, you know, robust stuff that
mm-hmm.
you can pull from that, you know, hopefully I can, I mean, I'm liking what you guys are doing, and it's a really important piece. So, I mean, I think we need to carve up some bandwidth to help you guys.
Oh, that would be fabulous.
I don't know how I don't know where that bandwidth's coming from, but, you know, the 2 to 3 mm-hmm. in the morning time sounds good.
I'm glad you don't need much sleep.
Yeah.
And he's got two little kids.
Oh, grief.
Yeah, that's why I don't sleep very well.
Yeah, but it would be great if
we
could, you know, get another article, perhaps about the guiding principles, or I love that idea about I don't know, it could be service learning. I don't know what, but somehow or citizen science. We could, not that we haven't highlighted some projects like that within like the science lessons, but you know maybe. You know, there's really not a limit just in terms of our bandwidth, you know, limitations.
Mm-hmm.
but really providing the context and different types of context that would make sense to our audience.
One last thing that I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with, but in the UK there's a project called the Climate Change School Project.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had good success working primarily at in primary schools.
Really?
Of integrating science with solutions. And they've got a website, they've done some evaluation on what's worked, and I think it would be worthwhile for you to do that.
Can you send up the link for that, Mark?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm familiar with that.
Yeah,
sometimes,
I don't think I've come across that either.
Yeah, I don't think I have either. That's really a good one.
Okay.
Mark, didn't you talk about this in your blog from Copenhagen?
I did, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
That's where I remember hearing about it. So you've written a little bit on it.
Yeah. I'll send you the link and then also that blog.
Yeah.
Good
Sounds
memories.
Great.
Yeah, the old stuff I remember.
All right.
Okay, well, if there are no other questions, I thank Kim and Jessica for their presentation today, and we will post a recording of this in a little bit, and appreciate your call, and we'll talk again next week.
I just remembered one other thing that I should have mentioned in the announcements, and that's the NSTA proposals are coming up in 2 weeks-ish, and I sent out a thing a week or two ago about people being interested in that and got a couple of responses, and I'll respond to those individuals and I guess probably send out another query and see if people want to do something.
Also, along a similar line, we had a discussion about proposals for Assess Engine AGU, and I'm going to, I posted the ideas, but I'm going to actually write some paragraphs about that, but then I would appreciate if people are interested in being a co-convener of some of those sessions, and I'll mention this again and give some more content of what they are, but we'll be looking for co-conveners for those sessions too.
Tamara, if you need a co-convener out of me, I've never done, it's been a long time since I've been one, so I'm more than happy to help if you need me.
Okay, great. Well, and I think Jessica and I are going to submit an Encella proposal, which is, it's science leaders. I don't even remember what that exactly stands for, but it's a pre-conference. We can do a day or half a day, and
For which meeting?
NSTA.
Before NSTA, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it's a day or half a day before that.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to do the integrating literacy and the science and literacy for elementary and really focus on beyond penguins as well as beyond weather. So, so it's possible that we'll ask, especially if any of you are already there, maybe you could help us with that in terms of the content itself.
Tim, you can rely. I mean, if that comes to pass, I'm generally there on the day before, and I can easily take that. I mean, you guys are doing really important pathfinding work, so
yep.
I'd love to help you if I can.
Well, that'd be great.
That's fantastic.
We will be in touch.
Oh, I just sent you guys the email with the spreadsheet that's going to scare the hell out of you once you open it.
Oh, I see that. So, okay.
So yeah, call me.
Okay, we'll do that and slog through the thing.
Well, call me and then we'll do it.
Okay.
Because I didn't take the tear to explain what everything is.
Okay.
So I mean, you'll find value there, I'm sure, but only if you talk to me.
Gotcha. We'll plan on doing that next week.
Okay.
Once we get issue two up.
There you go.
Okay. Very good.
Carol.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.